cause of a happy life is definite of purpose. The leading cause. Dude, if you want a happy life, have a definite purpose and live that purpose, and you're going to have a happy life.
Facts.
And that's it. What's up, everyone? Nick Sarantino here, back with another episode of the Free Thinkers Emergence Podcast. And today, I got my good friend, my homie, DeRez, the producer, the man. How's it going, bro?
Chilling, bro.
Dude.
Fucking vibing.
Awesome. Yo, bro, lower your microphone. I can't even see your face.
Let's do it. We'll
do
a little flip.
Yeah, perfect, okay. perfect. Yo, dude, we had a great night last night.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, went out to a little Halloween party at a dry bar, the local hangout spot, Root Awakening Kava. It's on Main Street in Nashua. Get rooted. Shout out to Greg, my homie, the owner. He's opening up a new location down in Worcester. Dude, you hear about that at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right near me.
Really? Yeah, bro.
Definitely going to be popping out there.
Dude, he told me it's going to be way bigger. The bar is like 20-something feet. Mm. Dude, so sick. Yeah. This is just such a bigger location. Have you seen the pictures on Instagram and stuff?
I haven't, but I heard that some shit happened there. Someone like crashed into it or something, right?
No shit, really? I didn't hear that. That's wild. Know. Maybe you're right.
I might be confusing it with my fucking boxing gym, but...
That's wild. It's possible. Yeah. Anyways, yo, dude, so... I know a decent amount about you, but not much. Like, this is the first time just me and you have sat down to talk, and we met each other probably like a month ago now. So, what's it like making music and stuff? I just had Knox on the podcast, and you know Knox, you're homies with him, right?
Sir.
Yeah, so, I guess, how long have you known Knox, and, like, did you guys ever make music together and stuff?
So, I've known Knox maybe since, like, 2018-ish. I met him through a friend that I work with. He's an artist, mostly, like, a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a session with him, like, a mixing session on a song that we did. It was called, I think it was called The One.
Yeah.
And we did a mixing session at his spot, one of his old spots. And I heard about him. People were saying that, you know, he had great work and whatnot. So I pulled up, and I just wanted to witness and, you know, soak in the greatness, because that's kind of what I do everywhere I go. If I think that someone has, you know, value, or even if I don't, I try to find it in every scenario. And I'm like a sponge, man. So I just try to absorb it all and see how I can apply it to my own stuff.
Yo, bro, I love that. Dude, that's like, we all have like those people we take inspiration from, and I've done a lot of that with Breno, and he's been very influential on me, and so have I been on him, but in that case with Knox and you, that's how I feel.
Right.
It's very important. I think people should always be finding people who have value and just take like, every single person has something to teach you.
Yeah.
Like, there's everyone you ever meet or will meet knows something you don't, and you know something they don't. And it's your goal in life to trade information, which is actually the value.
Exactly.
That's like the store that the experiences you go through, why we go through shit, is to share it with each other. So it helps other people go through similar things. And the easier it gets to go through anything, the higher civilization can rise, because the individuals will rise.
Exactly.
It's real shit, bro. Damn, dude. So, creativity, like, what got you into music? And, like, I've always been really into rap and stuff, conscious rap especially. But, like, what got you into, like, making beats? And I know you do other stuff other than just producing and mixing. So, tell me about it.
So... originally what got me into music was I was probably like 13 years old, and I heard Skrillex for the first time, right? Dubstep, and it just fucking blew my mind, and I was like,
yo, that shit blew my mind too. Skrillex is fire, bro.
Right. And I was just like, how the fuck do I like make stuff like this? Like, how is this stuff made? So I got FL Studio and started digging through YouTube and kind of getting a feel for, you know, how it works.
I hear you.
So that's how it started. And I was big into electronic music. So probably until about 16, 17, it was all electronic music. That was like all I consumed, all I wanted to make.
I'm really big into EDM too. That's fire. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to light an incense, but you can just keep talking. Cool. I lost my incense holder, so I put him in my Rubik's Cube and let him fall into my cigar tray.
Oh, yeah. That's fire. Right? So, yeah, around, it's probably like, it's probably like 16. And I met my homie, like one of my brothers. This dude is super close to me. But I met him at the gym because he was a personal trainer. And
love that.
He's a rapper. So
love that even more, bro. That's fire.
He got me into hip hop and got me into exploring that world with producing. And then that led to recording. He had a homie in Worcester. His name's Lotto, who actually went to that studio session with me at Knox's house, the first one.
Have you met Joyner?
I have not.
You have not, but Joyner's from Worcester.
Right, right.
Yeah, Knox works with Joyner a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that's wild.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so cool, all the connections everyone has.
Yeah.
So, continue. You got Lotto?
So
that's
yeah.
That's a sick name.
yeah. So, yeah, my boy Ant, the artist, he put me on to Lotto. We went to his studio in Worcester. I met my homie Ayo, Aaron Odom. And that's when I got into recording because I saw, you know, how it worked in like a studio, how it works with artists. And he was putting me on to like certain things, like how to record certain mixing techniques and whatnot, because I was already into mixing, because I feel like that's it's a little bit more of a thing in the EDM world almost. It's like people kind of mix their own tracks.
Well, yeah, it's a lot more sound based because there's not a lot of lyrics to it.
Right, right.
So it's way more like electronic mixing involved, I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really know much about it.
It's I feel like the producers in that world are more like a kind of one-stop shop where they just kind of DIY everything.
Yeah.
And not like all the time.
But, I hear you, though.
But a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, Lotto put me on to, you know, recording, mixing, all that. And then I was like, man, what if I just like started doing this on my own and like, you know, working with people, charging people, I can make a living off this. And yeah, there was this summer where I saved up like $3,000 and just like bought a mic, bought a setup to record, and then started recording artists, mixing, while making my own music as well, producing. I started dabbling a little bit with myself as an artist as well.
That's vocals, beautiful.
Writing. So yeah, I'm the kind of person where I'm always like, I'm always transforming. I say I'm like a chameleon.
Yeah, dude, I was just talking to Breno about this last night on my way home from this girl's house, and he was saying how, he was talking about, like, evolution and, like, life. I was like, yeah, bro, that's the micro and the macro. Like, the human species evolves, but each person evolves throughout their lifetime. And as you say, you call it, like, the chameleon effect, where, like, you're always changing, but that it's, like, same shit, different words, bro. It's fire.
Exactly.
It's crazy. We'd be talking about the same stuff.
Yeah. I've been through so many different like identity like shifts and whatnot.
Me too, bro. Me too.
So it's crazy how fast it happens too.
Right.
But yeah, all that led to this point where I am now. And I've been playing guitar. So that's funny how I started with the producing, because that's kind of like my strength. But guitar, I actually started when I was like maybe like 7. But I didn't like practice too much.
Yeah.
So guitar has kind of been a part of my life for a long time as well. And then
I hear you.
I fucking love all art. So like dancing was a big thing as well.
Dude, that's so fire. I wish I could dance better. Yeah, I can't really dance, too. Bro. Yo, dude, you were telling me last night that you moved out to Texas at some point. You went out to Austin, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, what you were telling me, like, music brought you out there, opportunity, and obviously you had a girl at the time, so there was some other stuff too there for you. But let's dive into this whole, like, what inspired you to go out there? And, you know, me and Brenna were moving out to L.A. This is the last podcast I'm recording before I go. Like, when you made that move to Austin, like, what was, like, that thing that was, like, yo, my heart is bringing me to Austin? Like, what was that for you?
Yeah. So, actually, it was Dallas. But
Dallas. Oh, I'm sorry, bro. It is what it is.
But at the time, I came up on a bunch of bread. And I just decided, I was like, dude, I need to experience some shit, move out the parents' crib. Obviously my girl was there, so, and yeah, I just popped out there and experienced some shit.
Nice, bro.
Didn't put in enough work, so that money dwindled down rapidly.
That's how it be, bro. You gotta put in the work.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just, like, you know, come up and then just sit on that and not keep things flowing, especially because...
I think that's a very valuable lesson you're sharing, not only to me, but to everyone right there. Yeah, like, yeah. You got something good going. Like, don't go, like, full throttle, and then you start really seeing some dividends, and then fucking let off the fucking gas. Yeah. Like, bro, like, when I get to L.A., I'm going, like, full fucking through the floor with the fucking throttle, bro. Dude, I'm gonna be ripping it down there.
As you must.
Dude, that's what I'm saying.
And yeah, because a lot of these things too, it's like you got to keep that pipeline full, and if it's not, it can take some time to reap the benefits of it. So, like, say you get to a point where you're struggling and you start scrambling, you might not be able to make some things happen as quickly as you might like.
Yeah, it's happened to me already, bro.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
It's tough.
Yeah. And it wasn't like I just, like, splurged with my money. I actually think I did a pretty fucking good job, but, you know, you got to keep that income flowing.
100%, bro. Positive cash flow, you exactly. know? It's like money in, money out, but it really does have to be all money in. Nip Hustle, that was, like, one of his MOs, like, all money in. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to go to L.A. and see, like, Crenshaw District where he grew up. I've been such a big fan of Nip for a long time. So I know it's not, like, the best area, but, like, you know, if I just, like, drive through and don't, like, fucking do something stupid, like, it's not going to be, like, that big of a deal.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, Nip's a legend, man.
Right, bro? Legend. Dude, it's so crazy. I can't wait to... Dude, he was so influential. Him and Mac Miller were really influential on me. And I think it's just so awesome. Like, art in general, like, music, like, getting connected with all these different producers and artists has changed my perspective on life. And I really like to tap into my creativity when I'm doing this podcast. Like, I'm really into conscious, like, streams where it's, like, I'll just splurge on my words, but I'll actually be able to provide value with that. And it's being creative about the topics I'm going to talk about, specifically when I'm by myself. And I try to use that level of creativity just as, like, anyone would in their art. And I don't think anyone's really talking about the shit I'm talking about, which is why I think this podcast stands out from other people's podcasts. Like, everyone's talking about main events. Like, I don't know a lot of podcasts that are really geared toward consciousness and what are you doing, why you're doing it, how are you doing it, and what is, like, these best ways to go about life, mindset wise, hermetic principles, universal law. So you add up all these different things and, like, you have to see how things work. And I'm not telling people how to think, but I'm showing them this is how to make life work the best for you. Like, this is how to make, this is how to flow with reality.
Yes.
So, dude, but that's it. Like, the flow of art in general. It's it, bro. You got to flow.
Exactly.
Yo, so what was that? What's that thing that there's, like, everyone has that thing that when they start, like, they enter a flow state? What's that flow state like for you? When, like, and how do you get there? How do you, like, tap into that?
So,
as an artist, producer,
I, like, separate types of flow states almost.
I love that. So, elaborate.
So, for me personally, I feel like where I've experienced the most flow is with, like, improvisational stuff.
So, like, the podcast.
Exactly. Or, so I used to do what's called gloving. Do you know what that is?
No, never heard of it.
So if you've been to an EDM show, you'll see people with the LED gloves, right?
Yeah, bro.
So I was fucking nasty with those, like what? Creating like intricate patterns and whatnot with my hand, basically dancing with your hands and your fingers.
That's wild.
Yeah. And, yeah, once the first time I experienced it, I was at this festival in Canada and, I was completely sober, but I just like got in this crazy flow. And, another time was on LSD, but, and that time was even deeper.
Oh, I bet, bro. The LSD one must have been wild, yeah, bro.
Dude, it felt like the darkness was like my canvas and that I was just like creating anything that I could think of.
Yo, bro.
With no boundary at all.
Yo, that was so fire. Because everything was void and then it's let there be light. And you were in that aspect, like the person who is putting the light in where it needs to be. So like you create everything, bro. That's such a perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
So continue. Darkness is your canvas. You're in Canada.
So that the canvas thing was on LSD. That was here, but Canada. Yeah, that was my first time experiencing that flow.
And what do you think got you into that? Like, is it the music that you're here? Like the beats? Like you really tune in?
So what I think is the key to flow state is repetitive action. So
okay.
Say you're freestyling, right?
Yeah.
Improvisational rapping. The more you do it and the more you just hammer at it, the more likely you are to tap into that flow state and just let go.
Yeah.
So that's what I think is the key to flow state is repetitive action.
Like consistency principle.
Exactly.
I hear you. Yep. Yo, you know who Harry Mack is?
Yep.
Yeah, bro. I love that guy.
Yeah.
Dude, Harry Mack is the man. Yeah. Bro, when my friend Jake put me on him and I was like, yo, what? Dude, so impressive. Favorite song for like this is like a freestyle. All his so for anyone who doesn't know who Harry Mack is, let me explain him real quick. He is a freestyle artist mainly, but he also does some other songs now that are like written out and rapped. But he like will travel around and he started off doing this stuff on Omegle and he would like have them name like 3 to 5 things that are random and he'd create a freestyle around these 5 random objects off the top of his head. And it's his memory was immaculate. His like sharpness, word choice, everything. Like he's just got such a large vocabulary, and he's incredible at what he does. And the flow state, bro. Like that's it. Like you get into that flow state, and once you're in, you fly, bro. Like no matter who you are, like you soar.
Exactly,
dude. It's so impressive. I love that you've seen of him before.
Oh yeah, he's an animal, dude. What really caught my attention was like, I don't know if someone was live and like giving him like, well, they were giving him words and I think someone like mentioned a chord or something, maybe music theory. And this dude's like freestyling each note in a chord, like in the freestyle, because he has like knowledge of music theory. So like that's he did that so and I was wild. Like, dude, that's fucking crazy. And like made it all rhyme. He's an animal, dude.
Mm-hmm. Bro, some people got it. Like, I'm not really musically inclined, but I have a lot of other gifts where I am very grateful for what I have, and I wouldn't change it for the world, but I played some saxophone in like concert band, and I played jazz band with tenor. I've done some baritone saxophone, too. So I played woodwinds for like, basically from when I was in what I think 4th grade to junior year of high school. Wow. Yeah, so I was like, I still got my sax. I fucking love that thing.
Dude, and I want to see you rip the sax.
Bro, it's so beautiful. And I need to get myself in the right like area to play again. Like I need to be with the right people who like really encourage me to get back into it. And just like this, and I think it's perfect that I'm like getting all connected with these musicians. Because imagine I got on some tracks with the sax, bro. Yeah, this like fire. random features like me with saxophone solo, bro. Dude, that shit would be so hard.
Oh yeah.
Wow, I never even thought about that till now. Yo, my cow fell off my turtle.
You think you still got it with the sax?
I definitely would pick it up right away. I can still read sheet music and stuff like that, and I know my scales. Right. So it's not like a... It's like I'm at the point where like you can just like put me, like show me a song and I can play it. Like that's where I'm at. It's just improvising. I'm not as good at, but I can play anything.
Right, right.
It depends on the vibe, you know. Yeah. Like there's so many different ways to play a saxophone.
Right. Yeah, I just picked it up like 2 months ago.
No shit. For real?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's so fire.
It's been so dope. I love it.
Dude, saxophone, it's the main thing is it's really loud to practice, and right. It would always, like, we always had dogs, so I mostly just played at school, but I got a lot of time in at school, especially in middle school. That's where I got real good. I was in the jazz band, played, dude, did Bohemian Rhapsody, and I had a solo on the tenor saxophone in that song. Shit was so fire, and this was like 7th grade jazz band, bro. So sick.
Hell yeah, that sounds awesome,
bro. It was awesome. Yeah, I never really talk about this stuff. This is awesome that like we went down this like track.
That's the flow state, baby.
For real, yo. So, damn, dude. What are your opinions on like consciousness and elevating yourself? You're a person who's into psychedelics as well. We kind of just got a glimpse of that with LSD. I'm really a proponent of psychedelics and how they can be used not only in like a fun way, but a medicinal way, whether that be through like microdosing, advancing yourself and your consciousness, overcoming addiction, or just using them in a healthy manner, just as anything can be used as a poison or a medicine. It's like right place, right time is how you need to use these. It's like setting a dosage especially. So what's your thoughts on psychedelics?
Oh man, I think psychedelics are incredibly powerful and gifts from God, universe, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, psychedelics have been fucking life-changing for me.
I agree, same here.
And in regards to consciousness, that's something I've been exploring for probably like 10 years now.
How old are you, by the way?
25.
Nice. I'm 22. I haven't asked, so I didn't know. And I don't think you knew how old I was.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
So.
Yeah. So yeah, that's been something I've been exploring for a while now. I'm a huge proponent of meditation as well.
Me too, bro. So much. Yo, meditation changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah, meditation is so powerful. So, and like you said, you know, it's tools, set and setting, being educated on these things, I think is like highly important as well. Safety. I think that's something a lot of people overlook. So that's something I'm always trying to push as well.
Yeah, bro. I 100% agree. I think at the highest level, your intentions will control everything the highest, where it's like, when I'm going to take any dosage of anything, I need to have the right intentions behind why I'm doing it. And this goes for everything you do in life beyond psychedelics.
Right.
But I think that is like, with the set and setting, you can make almost any set and setting work if you have the right intentions and you have some background experience. If it's your first time, you should be very careful and you should do it in a very controlled manner. Exactly. But as you get better, you can go out and walks in public and not be like, oh my God, like there's people around me.
Yeah.
It's just the social anxiety can be really high.
Oh yeah.
Social pressures. People have to learn how to handle themselves on psychedelics and stuff, but just like weed, some people can do it and then some people can't. I think some people trip and some people control the trip.
Right.
And I feel like I'm a living example of that, where I can take any dosage of like psilocybin under 3 grams and just handle myself properly.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess like in like cadence to like being, it's not like NPC shit. I already am like so authentic that it's hard to like fake. But when I'm on a psychedelic, I'm so unapologetically myself to the level that it makes some people uncomfortable.
Right.
What do you that shit is like, I think it's so fire that it can help people do that. Where I always struggled with being myself for, you know, especially in high school, I had this would like cover up my identity with drugs and alcohol, mostly this like weed and vaping.
Right.
And now I have been smoking cigars, smoking weed. Once in a while I drink. I'm going to go sober when I get to LA, and that's literally in a couple of days. But what I'm getting to is the difference now is I feel like I'm not trying to hide it.
Yep.
It's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I'll go and smoke a cigar whenever I want. It's like, I'd rip my vape before and I'd be like, damn, like everyone's judging me.
Mm.
And I don't know. It's like deep down, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But eventually you hit that point where you're like, yo, like, okay, this is me. It's like you've done a lot of shadow work. You know what shadow work is?
Yeah.
So when I started doing shadow work, I'm going to explain it real quick for the people. Shadow work's like those parts of your personality that you don't want to come to light. Like you don't want the world to see this side of you. And once you understand what those things are within you, you can start to deal with them. And it's not to fight them off, but to embrace those things to the point where instead of them becoming a hindrance, they become a superpower.
Exactly.
'Cause your biggest weaknesses are actually your biggest strengths, and everything comes down to perspective. Right. You just have to find the right angle to look at it.
Exactly.
Yeah, bro. So, and psychedelics have opened my mind to all these things, along with all the people I've had these experiences with, whether on psychedelics or this sober.
Yeah. What you said about like hiding as well and psychedelics, I feel like they up the pressure. So like if you're on a psychedelic and you're hiding, especially at higher dosages, you're going to have a terrible time.
Oh, bro, 100%, dude. It fucking sucks.
It's like if you're sober, like you can cope with it. But on a psychedelic, it's fucking unbearable. So I feel like it ups that pressure and like almost forces you to break through and just let go, because the pain of not letting go is far greater than the fear of letting go.
The pain of not letting go is far greater than the fear of not letting go.
Yeah. Interesting. Of letting go.
Of letting go.
Yeah. So. Not always, but I think it can kind of put you in that space where it'll force your hand to just surrender. And I think once you surrender, that's when you start to feel so much better internally.
Yeah. I need to plug my phone in. I need this thing to be charged. I'm driving to Burlington, Vermont in a few hours. I see my phone to be full. It was a late night last night. Didn't charge my phone, but you know, we're here. So, dude, where were we?
upping the pressure. Psychedelics upping the pressure and almost forcing your hand to let go.
Yes. All right, so here's what I was going to say. That, in response to that, God is that higher self. That is God. Your higher self is God. And God is also the universe. Like, everything and everyone is made in the image of God, and God is within everything. Like the creator, the divine spark, whatever you want to call it, it is within everything. And at a certain vibration, God really is a vibration. God isn't like a character. Like it's not like some white man in a robe.
Yeah.
God is when you're at this vibration, like a God frequency. It's like the highest level of flow state. And it's really cool that I brought it back to that, because that literally was the flow. And you realize everything is very cyclical in life. Everything is patterns. And then you start getting better at patterns through consistency, recognizing them, working with them. I mean, that's the whole Rubik's Cube thing. I got a 7x7 there, a Mega Minx. We were talking about 3x3 and some other ones earlier. Yep. Got a whole puzzle table on the other side of that tapestry behind him. And it's just, you have these patterns, you have all these different things, and you realize that everything in life is pattern recognition. You start getting better at it, And then your subconscious starts to do all the things that you used to consciously do, and you can get even more in-depth consciously into whatever it is that you're doing, become more present, more skilled, and then more valued by society because you're presenting more value. And this is you at the highest level vibrating at that God state.
Yep.
So, bro, it's this how it is. I don't know how I come up with this stuff, but this is the, I don't know what else to call it. Mm. There's a few people I hear talking about this. Billy Carson is the person who really got me onto like the, I knew about this before, but he really like started to give me that idea of I am truly God walking in the flesh.
Yeah.
Where facts. I need to embrace that being me, who I am, not trying to put a facade of Nate Sorrentino. I just need to be unapologetically myself. My homie's calling me, but I'll hit him up after.
Yeah, he can wait.
Yeah, this is very important. Yo, bro, dude. God. You a believer in God? I figure you are.
So, for me, I kind of just relate it to universe and nature.
I like that. I match that vibration.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, bro.
What meaning you attach to the word. But at the end of the day, I think that language fails to encapsulate what that actually is. And it's kind of like you said, it's a vibration. It's a feeling. It's an experience. So,
God is an experience.
Yeah.
You think that's why people go to church? Like they go to the synagogue, they go to the mosque, whatever they go to. You think they're going for that experience? They're trying to experience God in their own way. Like we experience God. Like I get it through the podcast. You get it through music and stuff. Like we all get it in our own way. And obviously, there's more ways, but that is the universe.
Yeah, I do think. People go to church to. To seek that experience. Yeah.
Yeah. What else you got to say about that? Because, I don't know. I want to hear more about your perspective on life and shit. I feel like I've talked a lot about, like, where I'm at, what my things are. So, what's your, like, big moves for the future right now? Like, what have you been planning out? Anything that you want to share here?
Oh, absolutely. So, man, right now, the theme is just music, boxing, fitness, meditation. I would say that's like those are the main things, and just trying to live more consciously and keep expanding, keep building, and sharing that with others, inspiring others, leading by example.
I love that.
So, yeah, fucking dude, music has been crazy. Like it just every few years it just gets crazier and crazier, and I feel like that's kind of my why. The reason I make music is I would say primarily for myself and surprising myself with what I can do. I have a lot of influences, people that I absolutely love the music that they create, and I want to be able to do something of that nature. So I kind of pull inspiration from all these people, and I just get closer and closer to that. And I think in the end, it's just going to result in this kind of mixture of all that stuff and create what is me.
Yeah.
With my essence kind of.
Yeah, no, 100%,
bro. In there as well, infused.
I completely agree. It's like I take mad inspiration from people. Like lately I've been on Napoleon Hill. I took a lot of inspiration from Tony Robbins.
Yep.
A lot of inspiration from Ryan Stuman, Brad Lee. There's mad other names I could add. Yeah. Like
I like Bradley.
Dude, Brad Lee's dope. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that's fire.
That's that dude.
Dude.
Tony Robbins too, GOAT.
Yeah, literally, dude, like all these people who are like they got their mind right. And once you get your mind right, bro, like, dude, there ain't no stopping you.
Exactly.
And that's why I live by, like, be, like, fearless, limitless, and unstoppable. And lately I've been, be undeniable in what you do. Like, be so good that it's impossible for anyone to say otherwise. And that's where you get to the level that, like, your degree means shit. Look at what I've done.
Exactly.
Like, look at all the people I've helped. Yep. And you're trying to tell me that you're better than me at this shit? Not. Right. Like, your degree means diddly squat.
Yeah, yeah, I've kind of, I'm like a walking example of that and just like going to continue to be even more of an example with that.
Yeah, bro.
Because I dropped out of high school. It was like junior year and all the teachers, they're like, don't do it. I've seen many kids like you go through the same thing.
My homie, my editor dropped out in senior year, bro.
Yeah.
You didn't meet him last night. He popped out before you got there.
What's his name?
Jordan.
Okay, yeah. I don't think I've met him.
He's moving to LA with me, but he's moving in January.
Yeah.
So if you come out and see us, like, and not like just me and Jordan, but like, you know, all of us, like, we mad heads out there, bro.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely popping out there real soon.
That's what's up.
And yeah, where was I?
We were talking about high school dropping out.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, everybody like basically saying I'm dumb, right? And I was just so set on what I envisioned for myself and what I felt was my purpose, my calling. So I just leaned fully into that. I was like, dude, I'm dropping out. I'm gonna make music. And I was like very rebellious at the time as well. So I was like, fuck it, dude. I'm not getting a GED, nothing. Like I'm literally gonna have nothing. Just so I could prove a point, essentially.
Bro, we're gonna make this fucking point true. Like, yeah, this is gonna exactly. be such a true point that people are gonna be fucking, oh dude, I gotta stop swearing. People are gonna wanna be like, yo, like I can't believe I ever doubted that man. Like right. He had it the whole time. And you know what? The most fucking attractive quality in any person is like self belief and authenticity. Right. Like, you know what you want and do it. Dude. Yep. The Napoleon Hill, I've been watching a lot of him, listening to a lot of him. Finished his book, two books, Outwitting the Devil.
Oh, amazing. And fucking amazing.
And you know, the classic Think and Grow Rich. And
Hypnotic Rhythm, baby.
So now I'm at this point where I'm like thinking like, damn, bro, like this man was on it. And the leading cause of a happy life is definite of purpose. Leading cause. Dude, if you want a happy life, have a definite purpose right. and live that purpose, and you're going to have a happy life.
Facts.
And that's it.
Yep.
Like, and that's what you're doing, that's what I'm doing, and that's what we're trying to get everyone to do. And that's what, like, my job is, bro. Like, I go around and I get paid to help people with purpose.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thank you, bro. Dude, this is, like, I'm in the podcast is, like, just another, like, outreach. So, like, all these people who, like, want to learn about consciousness and this way, like, be, like, they want to grow, like, yo, like, this is where we grow, like, as a family, like, yeah. We don't need, like, everyone's, like, I want to create, like, a family and, like, a tribe, like, a community where, like, we all are, like, brothers and sisters and helping each other rise.
Yeah.
Dude, this is wild. Everything's so great now.
Yeah.
Ever since, like, I decided I was going to LA, everything got way better. So, drop out of high school, now you're making music, going full circle, dude, that's awesome. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Excuse me that you did that.
Yeah, and things have been just slowly creeping, slowly bubbling up.
Yeah, bro.
Little,
dude.
Success milestones.
You're going to... So I introduced you to my friend last night, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be looking for a new producer. Hopefully you guys can link up, make some music.
Yeah, he's dope. I checked out his stuff.
Really? That's awesome.
There was like some synchronicities there as well. It's like... when I looked at his page.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting.
That's fire. Yeah. Dude, that's fire. When I thought of you earlier, when you said synchronicity, 1111, the tattoo that you have literally means you're in synchronicity with the universe. Mm. And that's why I think, dude, you're like, so, yeah, he literally has a tattoo of 1111 on his wrist.
Right here.
For all y'all.
That's the time I was born.
Yo, literally. And I saw, see that clock? That's 12 minutes fast. And I saw 1111 while I was down here preparing everything. I was like, oh, yo, DeRozan's going to be here, bro. This would be so sick. Yeah. Yo, what makes you go by the name DeRoz? Is that like a chosen name or a born name, like given?
So I'll call it chosen in a way, but my last name is Valadares, right?
Valadares. All right.
And that's like a city in Brazil, Valadares.
Mm-hmm.
I have no affiliation with it, apparently, but I took that last part of it, DeRoz, and it's actually with an S, but then I just switched it to a Z, and that's again, when I was like 13, 14, making like electronic music, and for a while, I actually didn't like the name, but it got to a point where I was like, dude, That's the name that was chosen for me. It's like I just received it. I was like, it is what it is, and now I like it, and it seems like other people like it too. So
yeah, bro. As well, the podcast used to be called Guided Spirits, and when I had Knox on, I accidentally introed it with Guided Spirits, and then I retook the intro. But it was just like I still think to this day, like, should I change it? It's the Free Thinkers Emergence now. I don't know. I might change it again. I got to figure out what I really want. But either way, like, the content's still here. It's still fire. I really just wanted to be, like, I wanted to go hand in hand with my brand, Save Your Services. That's why the emblem for it is literally my logo. And maybe I'll just call it Save Your Services podcast.
Yeah.
It's like,
right now it's Free Thinkers Emergence, you said?
The Free Thinkers Emergence podcast. I have a course called the Free Thinkers Emergence program.
Yep, yep.
And I've been working on this for like a couple years. And it's just all about mentalities, hermetic principles, universal laws, mindsets, everything it takes to become fearless, limitless, unstoppable, undeniable, and like your highest self in every aspect. And then mindfulness. Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? Kind of stuff.
Right.
And these are the things. I think there's about 28 lessons, and it should take about 3 to 6 months, hopefully. And, you know, whole workbook I created, everything's, I have to re-record the middle of it, but it's been pretty good. I accidentally deleted it, but it's all right. There's more I can add to that section. But every other section's pretty fire. There's a lot of, dude, it's like every time I'm having a conversation, I can always, like, I like pull things from my own course to talk about because I'm like, yo, this is so applicable. Like, it's how it works. And the course is just designed so, like, people have, like, a foundation of, like, knowledge to go through life and actually make decisions that are going to advance them mentally, physically, and spiritually, most importantly.
Yep.
Dude, beautiful. What do you think of, like a spiritual journey and shit like that? Like, do you grasp, like, souls and stuff like that? Like,
what do you mean, do I grasp souls?
Like, what's your
soul snatcher?
Yeah. What's your conception of, like, people being, like, souls and they just possess their body and stuff? Like, you're going through experiences that are supposed to build you in your character, and on top of, like, you keeping your physical body alive, it's more like, what are you doing as, like, a soul, as, like, a being, an entity? Something like that. You get what I'm saying?
You're not asking me what am I doing as a soul.
No, I'm asking, like, what's your opinion on, like,
souls
in general? Like,
I feel like it's not something I've given too much thought. Yeah, I feel like it's not really something I thought about too much. I think more like consciousness.
I got
consciousness, mind, body. That's kind of like where I'm at, I would say.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, this thing in your body called a Merkaba. It's like the center where the light, the body, and the spirit meet. It's the housing of, like, all of this. And it's actually an inverted dodecahedron. That's the shape. Right. Everything's like geometric patterns and fractals in this universe we live in. And so there's this thing in the middle of you, and it, like, when you resonate with the vibration of 432, the frequency of nature, it, like, charges up your Merkaba, which is where that light body spirit meet. Merkaba, as in Mer, light, Ka, body, the Merkaba spirit. Yeah. Yeah. It's fire, bro. Dude, this is like esoteric knowledge.
Yeah. Sacred geometry.
Yeah. Gnosticism, bro. I was talking to you.
What was that you said?
Gnosticism.
Okay. I'm not familiar.
Gnostic is, I don't even know where to start with it. It really is like, you know what esotericism is?
Somewhat, not entirely.
Esso, as in, it's basically like looking for God within.
Okay.
Instead of, like, looking outward for, like, the meaning, everything is within you. So if you want meaning to life, look within.
Right.
And that's why the only way to really figure out who you are, what you're doing, is to just meditate on yourself. And I think the easiest way to really dive into yourself is to take psychedelics and just enjoy the experiences alone and figure out, okay, what makes me tick? Who am I? Why do I care? Why do I do what I do? Like, right. So, like, I'd be, like, last night, like... You know, I've had many experiences on psychedelics, and I can basically do whatever now, and it's awesome. It's like, I got this vibe.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, I don't trip. It's just like, okay, what are we going to build today?
Right.
And some people like see like building, like you can build music, like you can create music, or you can build structures and buildings, but I build people's minds.
Yeah.
Like I build the way people think. It's pretty fire.
Hell yeah, bro.
I don't like telling people how to think, but like I want to give them like the structure so they can make decisions with their own moral compass.
Right.
Just like, I don't know, it's fire. Yo, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, life is so good.
This is wonderful. It all started with the Rubik's Cube.
Literally, bro.
That's today's theme, patterns.
Patterns, bro. Dude. Oh, we do. Have fun. Yo, you want any more water? Yeah, bro. There was another one I had. I don't know where I put it, but it is what it is.
So, how did you get into, like, consciousness and... spiritual kind of stuff.
So, in high school, I was a bit of a fuck up. If you ask me, personally speaking, I did. So first, I started vaping when I was 13. I was in 8th grade. Got my first box mod around Christmas time. Then, slowly and but surely by freshman year, I was vaping. And then around, like, that 14, 15 age, I started drinking hard alcohol. Like, it started off with, like, beers. Like, my dad would give me Bud Lights and stuff. And eventually, it was, like, I was stealing alcohol from my parents. Right. And then by 15, I think this is even before I got my license. I think I was 15. I started smoking weed. And before I even had my license, I'm pretty sure I was sneaking out of the house, stealing my parents' car. They meet up with my homie and smoke weed. It was wild, bro. And so I was stealing alcohol from my parents. I was taking their car, and like I was basically just doing whatever I wanted because I was like, fuck you and fuck the law.
Right.
It's like, you can't tell me what to do. that was it, bro. Like, I was like, you can't tell me what to do. Hey, yep. And I thought that about everyone. And so I did whatever I wanted until God humbled my ass by like nearly killing me. Oh, wow. He was like, you want to have fun? Like, yo, I'll show you what fun is. And like, you play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And main thing was all the fucking vaping. That really... Vaping in the carts, bro, like the all the metal coils that were burned, dude, so many heavy metals. And I remember like I would fucking laugh at all the posters of the Jewel in my fucking, like they would have those Jewel posters in my high school bathroom, and I was the only person, like I was the only person in my high school who was doing that shit, and I got other people on that.
Oh wow.
Yeah, bro, I was the bad influence on other people. I was the people whose like mothers were like, yo, don't hang out with that kid.
Right.
And I was
surprised you were the only one Vaping too.
That's well, bro, crazy. I went to ASD and it's like, my friend Alex probably started smoking weed around the same time, and then we started chilling and we started smoking weed, and and then everyone was like, not everyone, like, but like some other people were like starting to get into it at the same time, and then everyone just like started following. But I was definitely one of the forerunners and trailblazers. And
vape trailblazer.
Yeah, bro. That was kind of bad. So I'm going through, and then, oh yeah, so this is where things got really bad. Like, by like 14 years old, bro, like it was the summer going into like freshman year summer, like after freshman year, like I'm addicted to juuling. I say juuling because that's what it was. And I was really into this shit. And this is not my proudest moment, everyone. I haven't said this on a podcast yet. So me and my friend Matt Starr are like mad addicted, and we can't get any vape pods or Juul pods, and we're just like walking around the streets picking up cigarette butts and smoking them. And I never once thought that was a problem. Yeah. Never once. I was just like, yo, this is completely normal.
Yeah.
Like, not even second guessing it, bro. Right. And last night, I saw like some crackheads on the side of the road in Nashua picking up cigarette butts on the ground. And I was like, yo, I've been there, right, bro. Right. Dude, I've been there. I was 14 when I was doing that. Yeah. Dude, it was like, it brought me back to those days. And I was just like, damn, bro. Like, this is actually fucked up, that, like, when you reflect on that shit. And so, yeah, I did some other shit that was also not good. Not, like, it all just revolved around addiction, and addiction's, like, my main thing. Like, I want to help people with addictions and help them overcome whatever they have, and just, like, fucking show the world that I'm not just my... Everyone is a product of their addictions, and you have a choice of what you want to get addicted to. Like, addictive personalities are real as fuck, and you just got to use them to make yourself better.
Right. Use them to your advantage.
Yeah. It's like all your biggest weaknesses become your biggest strengths when you change your perspective.
I would say I'm highly addictive. Like,
me too, bro. Me too. I'm addicted to water, bro. I'm addicted to going to the gym. Yeah. I'm addicted to
fucking boxing right now,
dude. Bro, dude, boxing is fire, bro. Yeah. You are on my other side of the unfinished part of the basement. There I have a bag and gloves and a little mini gym set up. Basically, that's a pull-up bar and a punching bag, some 10-pound dumbbells. But yeah, you got right on that.
Oh yeah. Dude, I can't see a bag and not fucking throw some punches.
Dude, that's what's up.
Right now, my wrists are a little fucked up, but working on it.
You'll tighten them up.
Yeah.
You can do, like, wrist exercises, too. Yeah,
that's what I've been doing. It's been helping a lot.
I never really did them. Eventually, the main thing is I kept fucking, like, fracturing right here on my thumb, because I would hit and it would push my thumb back. And I fucked up my finger so many times until eventually I broke it enough times that when it healed, it just healed super strong, and now that I don't break them anymore.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know the saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. If you keep breaking the same thing, eventually it's going to heal back so strong you can't break it anymore. Mm. That's how it be. Yeah. Your body's miraculous, bro.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's something I've been like I've been shown a lot this year. Cause like I feel like I have a lot of like little nagging injuries and like stupid shit. And it would kinda like
hinder you?
Yeah, it would kinda like bug me out too, like mentally just a little.
100%.
just cause they were like so stubborn. But this year I really like started rebuilding everything from zero. And I feel like that's the key. It's just like, I would also rest and like run away from it almost. I don't think run away is a good word, because like that's just what I thought was best. But now I'm like almost going into it, leaning into it, and just starting from zero and just rebuilding the strength little by little.
Yeah, dude. That's what I did at the gym the other day. I was doing squats with one plate. I can squat I can squat fucking 450 Jesus plus pounds
Christ.
And I was doing one plate, but I was going till my ass touched my calves.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dude, the depth on my hips feels so good.
Yeah.
Like knees and hips. I literally, all I said, I was like, I just want to focus on stability and go as the highest range of motion I could possibly do.
Yep.
And I did, I was doing like three lunges on the left, three lunges on the right, and then I'd do three squats. And I just kept doing like sets of that. And it felt really good.
Yeah, dude, you can squat over 400.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
I like doing box squats, especially when I don't have a spotter.
Dude, the most I've squatted is like 225.
Damn, bro. Dude, I've benched 255.
That's crazy.
Yeah, bro. I got mad strong last winter. I mean, I'm not fucking weak by any means right now.
Yeah.
It's just who I am. I'm like naturally a built person. Dude, we were talking about that with Breno last night. Yeah. He's like saying like, Breno, what he said, he's like doing like some push-ups.
Yeah, people just said he's doing push-ups and pull-ups and dude's looking fucking jacked.
Yeah, dude, Breno's a fucking unit, bro. He's a boss. He's a unit. Dude, like, it's fucking phenomenal. I love seeing my homies fucking grow in every way, shape, and form. Yeah. So, it's so hype. Yo, you know D-Cap?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'm so excited to see him. Yeah. Dude, it's gonna be fire. How long have you known D-Cap?
I met him that day that we met.
Oh, yo, yeah. That's fire.
But I've known about D-Cap for quite some time. And, I like the stuff, like, he talks about and whatnot. It seems like a chill dude.
What made you start going to Root Awakening?
Knox. Knox, he just invited me, and I slid through. Every time I go there, bro, it's... I won't say every time, but, like, a lot of times, there's something in the air for me.
Bro, last night was surreal, bro. Especially with the experiences like we were having. There was a Halloween party at this kava bar, and it was wild. It's so cool to record a podcast after that and just like be able to reflect on our experience.
Yeah.
Yo, bro, this thing just hit 5555. It's wild. I just like looked over and like saw it. Yo, dude, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was phenomenal.
Thank you, bro.
Dude.
Absolutely.
I got, like, such a big day ahead of me, so we only got, like, an hour to record for today. But, dude, I'd love to get you on again when I'm out in L.A. You coming out, and, like, maybe, like, me, you, Breno, and D-Cap can hop on one. I don't know. That's a stretch, though, because everyone's going to be mad busy to get our schedules to align like that.
Yeah, but either way, even if it's just you and I, dude, I would love to get back on.
100%. I'm going to be building a studio somewhere. I don't know where yet, but I'm going to be bringing all the podcast equipment. I'll get a folding table or some shit, and we can make this shit work. But I'm going to leave this big table, leave my desk, bring, like, basic stuff. But, yo, bro, dude, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, brother.
Yo, anything you want to share with the people before you leave? Any final words, upcoming news, whatever you got?
We'll do some words of inspiration, I guess.
Very good. Hit them with it.
So, I see myself as a very successful person, even if it's not... in the material sense quite there yet, but I think like mentally and just where I'm at and what I'm loaded with, basically what I'm primed for. So yeah, I just want to say I think a lot of that came from curiosity, and we mentioned like dropping out and whatnot, not needing degrees. It's like, bro, at the end of the day, whatever teacher you have, whatever guidance you have, that's great, but at the end of the day, you have to have experiences for yourself, and you have to put in that work yourself, and encourage the mistakes. Something I say a lot is invite mistakes, because those are what's going to lead you to further growth. I just want to say, like, stay fucking curious. That is one of the greatest qualities I think someone can have if they want to grow.
It's like staying youthful, the inner child. Exactly. Curiosity and initiative is what I learned.
Yep.
Those two things will take you anywhere new.
Yep.
All right, bro. It's been real, everyone. Yes, thank you all for watching. My name is Nate Sarantino.
I am Derez.
And this was the Free Thinkers Emergence Podcast. Peace.